Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is an
ENN
special report. Now reporting.
Former 24/7 champion, Peter Rosenberg.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
Bear, I'm doing a show. Turkey ducking.
That's great.
Now, from the ESPN New York news desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to this Thursday edition of ENN.
On TV.
Ray Rowe.
It's on both.
On TV.
And.
Ray Rowe.
It's also brought to you by.
DoorDash.
You don't even have to be here, do you?
Download the.
DoorDash.
App right now and start exploring some of the best New York has to offer.
DoorDash.
Get more from your neighborhood. I'd like to start off tonight's broadcast by saying good evening to Michael.
We're reinventing broadcasting.
And good evening to Don.
Ray Rowe.
And then good evening to myself.
Oi, meu nome é Michael K. Eu quero falar sobre Mercedes-Benz of White Plains.
That was very good, Peter.
I thought so.
Do you actually know Portuguese?
You think I just made that up? I was just spitting out anything that came to my head?
Yeah, it sounded like gibberish to me. I don't know. I don't know Portuguese.
But he's announced many times on the air that he does speak some.
Well, you know what? And I've announced many times that I was doing playoff games.
Yeah, not true. See, the difference is Don remembers what I said because I've actually said it. That's the thing.
Gotcha.
You understand?
I hear you.
You heard me?
I'm sorry.
By the way, speaking of baseball broadcast, just seeing a tweet now, Jack Curry saying that he's hearing that clubhouse access is scheduled to be restored to pre-pandemic rules for vaxxed and boosted media members, pending the approval of the players' union. The two sides are expected to discuss it next day or two.
And don't be surprised.
I don't know if not going to be a slam dunk pass.
Don't make that seem like it's going to be an easy thing to do.
That's the one thing I could see a hiccup existing on.
Right. 60-year-old Don LaGreca wanted to go to Vegas, pending the approval of his parents, and it never happened.
Wow, by the way, there's video right now of Ben Simmons trying to sneak out of his hotel and not get hassled by the fans in Philly. It's going to be crazy tonight. Andrew, any part of you like nervous at all that it could be straight up ugly tonight?
Well, it depends what you mean by that. You mean like fans trying to get at him physically? I'd be lying if I said it didn't cross my mind. And I really, really hope, for however much I can't stand him, I really hope that doesn't happen, obviously.
Of course.
But it's going to be as bad as I've ever seen it. The only thing that can save him a little bit tonight is that the fans might have to kind of, like, he's not playing. So there's not going to be a moment where he goes to the free throw line and it's just him there taking all that abuse. The fans are going to have to kind of work at it, like start up chants kind of, you know, unprompted throughout the course of the game.
Or it's Philly, just throw a huge piece of horse dung.
No, but
the fact
is
that he's trying to sneak out of the hotel, what a bad look. I mean, this might not end up well for the Nets. If he's that soft that he can't walk through with people screaming. I mean, they have lines up so that the fans can't get to the players before they get to the bus. That's weak.
I mean, maybe they're using the word sneak.
There's video of it.
But is he actually sneaking? I just see him walking.
Yeah, he just walked out to the bus. That's not sneaking.
Yeah,
that's the front of the hotel. That's the same hotel that the Rangers stay. That's right there.
Yeah, right. I just looked at it.
Yeah, look at the bike. You just walk it out.
Right?
No, people are interesting. But Steven had the tack that, hey, he could play. So this is weak for him not playing. But listen, we'll never know whether he can play or not. Fact is, this is a great idea by the Nets to have him there. Let him experience it. So it'll definitely take a little bit away the next time he plays in the building. Now, it'll still be bad probably his entire career. It's still bad for Tavares coming back to the island. But this, what feels like today is like what we did when Tavares came back. But he's not playing, but at least you get this out of the way. I think it's a good thing the Nets are doing.
Andrew, is this going to be worse than Santa Claus was treated?
That was over, a very, very overrated moment.
Thank you, Don. I don't usually hear non-Philly people
not because
say
I,
that.
Because I do the work. The guy was like on crack or something. He weighed like 130 pounds. He was not a Santa Claus. He did not represent the spirit of Santa Claus and deserved to be booed.
Was he wearing a Santa Claus outfit?
Yes.
White beard?
Yes.
I think so.
Was he on drugs?
That's Santa Claus.
No. No.
Just yeah. Yeah.
He was thin. I think he was in college, I think is the story. I think the problem was there was a blizzard that day. And so I guess whoever it was that was supposed to be playing Santa couldn't make it to the stadium. So they pulled this guy out of the stands, and he was just not – he wasn't
fit for
the part.
So he was representing Santa.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. He's representing Santa, but poorly if he's very skinny.
But Donald, the actual Santa is very busy around that time of year. No, he can't go to an Eagles game.
Put the acid down.
But, you know, but you have to still be graded on how you represent Santa. And if you represent him poorly, then you deserve
to
be
booed. So it's okay to pelt the guy with ice.
I was defending the booing. The
Peter,
pelting with
I have some information that will be interesting to you. This is from Evan Drellick of The Athletic. One interesting part of negotiations, players have now expanded rights to engage in promotional and endorsement activities with sports betting companies. It was very restricted before, now loosened up. Sports betting before was a matter of league policy, now been decided by both sides.
So who's
going to be the first guy they grab?
By the way, guys, I see a video from 5 hours ago,
right,
of Ben Simmons stopping to sign autographs for fans.
Yeah, why is he wearing a hockey jersey? Dress better, Ben.
Well, in all fairness, it's a Louis Vuitton hockey jersey.
Okay, still
the jersey costs more than your life.
Oh, really? And Louis Vuitton.
Holy crap.
Tell me if I'm wrong, Don. One of the most famous hockey players of all time.
Yeah, of course. But listen, do I wish that – I do like the policy of when in public you wear a suit. But the NBA has relaxed that, and he wants to wear a hockey jersey. Go have fun.
So some quick baseball notes, since we did spend quite a bit of time on it today. But yes, Major League Baseball and the Players Association reached a tentative agreement on a new collective bargaining agreement on Thursday, which ends the league's 99-day lockout and salvages a 162-game season still. So everyone expects this will be ratified and all will be okay. The deal materialized after what was a tumultuous week when the league made a proposal that bridged the significant gap in the competitive balance tax. There was a dispute over an international draft that threatened negotiations and caused the league to remove from the schedule another two series on Wednesday, but the issues were resolved Thursday morning, and the league delivered a full proposal to the union, which it voted to accept. So right now, things should have just gotten officially ratified moments ago. And now that baseball is back, a recap of some things that you may have forgotten since it's been so long.
It's three outs an inning.
Three outs an inning, three strikes for an out.
Yep. Yeah. Four balls for a walk.
The Braves, of course, your World Series champions, beat the Astros in six, did it without Ronald Acuna Jr., who tore his ACL just before the All-Star break last year. So they are going to be dangerous. When is Acuna Jr. Expected to be back?
Start of the season. He'll be fine.
Shohei Ohtani, of course, was amazing last year. 46 home runs and struck out 156 batters. I mean, when you think about guys, one of the reasons we should be excited, if you're just a fan of baseball, excited that we're going to have baseball again, I mean, how much of a bummer would it not have been to get to see the continuation of Shohei Ohtani? Before the lockout, don't forget the Rangers got Corey Seager, signed him to a 10-year, $325 million deal, the fourth $300 million free agent deal ever. And, of course, Scherzer signed with the Mets, a 3-year, $130 million deal that set a new record for the highest average annual value at $43 million a year. The Yankees have been very quiet this offseason, which Michael's been alluding to. That's why we expect madness from them. Only one free agent signing in the offseason. And there are a ton of big-name players available, including, of course, shortstops Carlos Correa and Trevor Story, Chris Bryant, Clayton Kershaw, and Freddie Freeman all still on the market.
I'll tell you what, I'm proud of you. That's impressive. That was a nice little summation of where we are. And I'm going to tell you, Peter, why I think it's going to be a bacchanal.
Go ahead.
Teams have to report on the 13th. That's this Sunday, Selection Sunday. So GMs have 3 days to make their team. I mean, you can obviously continue to make trades during spring training, but you're going to want your whole team there because it's going to be a compressed spring training. You're going to have all of this done in about 3 days or 2 days.
A real bacchanal.
Yep.
God, Michael might do tomorrow's show completely in the nude, let's be honest.
But can I tell you right now, I know it's a little uncomfortable for those that are listening on radio. No clothes on, belt down. My goodness.
It's a lot of excitement.
Yeah, now, I said not that big of a deal.
I said I had football news.
That's right. This is big.
The Giants have worked out a deal with Sterling Shepard.
Joe Skihoang.
So he will have a restructured contract.
I think that could win Drop Madness, by the way.
It's in, right, Andrew? It's in.
Oh, definitely. That'll be a high seed in Peter's region. I don't think it's well, whatever. I don't want to give my input just yet. I have my thoughts on the favorite.
Let's hear it one more time, Anthony.
Joe Skihoang.
I got to give a closer look to Peter's region.
So, tell us how that goes, Andrew.
By the way, guys, pretty interesting. You know, Shepard, of course, we know is injured, and it's not an easy circumstance. Because he's going to lose a ton of money in this restructured deal, but otherwise he was going to be cut and make no money.
Right.
But also the extra piece here to think about, guys, he's the longest tenured New York Giant.
That is
holy
crazy.
Crap.
Seventh season. Now, speaking of that sort of era of New York Giants, maybe exactly? Washington has released Landon Collins in a move to free up some salary cap room.
I think we all have to apologize to the great one, Dave Gettleman. We ripped him when this happened, and obviously Landon Collins was not worth the money.
No.
And Washington found out over a couple of years.
Listen, he was a fine player.
Yeah,
I had no problems with him in Washington, especially actually this. Although here's the part that annoys me, guys. The first 3 years that he was in Washington total? I can't remember. It was 2 or 3 years, but. The first season, up until halfway through this season, they were still trying to drop him back into coverage. And then the second half of this season, they had him up chasing quarterbacks and running backs. It was fantastic.
If you remember, though, we ripped Gettleman, not necessarily for his take on Collins, for not trading him.
Right.
For losing him for nothing. But remember, they did get back a compensatory pick.
True. But we don't know what they would have gotten had they traded. Maybe the compensatory pick would have been better. But at that particular moment, we thought they could have gotten a lot for him. And that was around the same time they had traded Snacks Harrison. I believe that's when they traded Eli Apple.
So we're sorry, Dave.
So
come back.
But the point is, he still, I think, still could have traded him and gotten more for him than just letting him leave in free agency and getting the compensatory pick. So he still deserved to be ripped in some way.
I'm. There's no more negativity about Dave Gettleman for me that I know that he's a twin of Dave Rothenberg.
Well, I don't think that's very flattering.
Oh, I heard him today. He was very angry when Rick brought it up, but somebody actually twinned it up on Twitter. They look remarkably alike.
I don't look like Gettleman.
You could hear in his voice.
Wow.
There's jokes, and then there's jokes.
Now, can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Did Dave gain all the weight back?
You know what? I got 40 seconds for you right here.
Is that what you're saying when you say this?
No. I'm not saying body-wise. Face-wise, they look the same. But, yeah, he's put a lot of it back.
Well, remember, you know.
Who the hell are you?
It was all for Ben's bar mitzvah.
Right.
Which was 2 years ago, March 1st.
And we all risked COVID at that time.
Yep.
I'm up before the cows.
And then I eat them.
Oh, wow. Come on.
Oh,
that's not right. Now
it's consistent. He's always piled on Dave.
Now, here's a tweet I did not – what was that? He's always piled on Dave.
Yeah, he has.
Now, here's a tweet I didn't expect to see today.
Come on.
From Shefty. Colin Kaepernick is still working out and is said to be, in the words of one source, in the best shape of his life. He wants to play. He's ready to play. He would be a great fit for teams with QB vacancies to fill who want to win a Super
Yeah,
Bowl.
I'm still slipping into Jennifer Aniston's DMs, too. It's not going to happen.
Now, any chance that the trial, the Flores trial, could have an impact in terms of the NFL desperately trying to reshape this narrative?
But I think we all can agree on some level he was blacklisted, okay?
Oh, yeah.
We're still talking about a quarterback that hasn't played since 2016, which we were just talking about how unbelievable, like, Sterling Shepard's been with the Giants for 7 years. I mean, we're coming up on 2022, guys. I mean, that's five seasons away from the NFL. That's a long time.
Long time.
So I cannot, honestly, Peter, and as much as you've been on the side of Colin and all that, and you bring him up every time a bad quarterback gets signed to a team, you can honestly understand a team saying, I'm good, and it not be for any other reason, but I can't sign a quarterback who hasn't been on the field in 5 years.
Now, so hear me out, and you guys can agree or disagree. What you just said was 100% truthful. At this point in time, I would not fault a team for not wanting to sign him given how long he's been out of the league. However, would I argue that even 5 years removed, he's better than some of the people on rosters in this league? Yes,
Peter,
I believe
tough.
He would.
I mean, there's so much rust there.
He's
also going to be 35 in the season.
I started a game last year with Garrett Gilbert, okay? I'm sorry. I just still believe. Now, listen, then it gets into the argument that Don's always brought up. Would it be worth it for a team to go through the scrutiny and the conversation for their second or third string quarterback? Well, that's a different conversation. But you can't tell me. If we go through the roster right now, Don, I'll only make it five teams before you say, okay, give me 34-year-old Colin Kaepernick.
Let me ask you this question. And I know we're divided as a country and everything, okay?
Go ahead.
But at this particular point, him coming back, to me, would be a fun story to follow, more so than it would be people up in arms that he's playing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, after what Brian Flores has done, this is nothing.
I mean, come on. I think a lot of momentum has kind of shifted since the first time this happened, all right?
Agreed.
And so I really don't think there would be the backlash. I don't think there would be nearly what would have been had he signed in 2017.
Peter, I'll tell you what the runway is for him to get back to the NFL.
Okay.
But it doesn't seem like he'd want to do it.
USFL.
Yeah.
Play. Show everybody that you could play. Then if you show that you can ball, somebody's gonna sign you.
And honestly, Peter, this is just an opinion, not politically motivated. Because, again, I'm on Colin's side at this point. But if he doesn't go to the USFL and play, then he's scared that if he goes out there and looks awful. I think he either wants to play in the NFL or never play and let people believe that he could have played if given the opportunity. Because going to the USFL, it would be an easy thing to do. And if he still can play to the way Adam Schefter's talking, he should dominate there.
So it's a fair point. It's a totally fair point. They have a limited amount of money, the USFL, that they can spend.
Of course.
Sure, but it shouldn't be about the money.
No. But I'm just saying, I would also think from the standpoint of the USFL, wouldn't you basically be willing to make the guy your highest paid player for the eyeballs you'd get to have him in the league?
I don't know. I think
there's a good payday for him.
You know, I'm looking forward to the USFL just because I was a big USFL guy and they're bringing all the old teams back. But it's still really strange. They're playing all their games in Birmingham, Alabama.
Yep.
Like, it's a very strange. So I don't even know what the talent level is there, but all the more reason for them to go out there, dominate, and really get people going.
Well, tonight, guys, TNT, the Nets and the Sixers
on TV,
Philly.
Big, and by the way, on Yes, post game on Yes after that game.
Okay.
Oh, that's good programming.
Yeah,
that's how you do it.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Let's hear from Kendrick Perkins on the NBA Today talking about how big this game is for Net stars KD and Kyrie.
We all know that going into this game, one, KD and Kyrie is going to take this matchup personal towards James Harden, and vice versa. James Harden is going to want to go with KD and Kyrie, but I love how they're trying to downplay it, like they're not going into Philly trying to be on a mission or show James Harden up or act like James Harden and Joel Embiid is not going to be waiting on them. I just love it. Look, this game is going to be everything. Get your popcorn ready.
I hope so. Because the last time these two teams played in a meaningful game last year, KD decided not to play. So I'm just happy that there's actually something going on here in this regular season matchup.
Let's hear from Windhorse in Space on Ben Simmons coming back to Philly.
To me, the question's going to be, how does Philly in the arena handle it? Because I remember being at the LeBron return game.
In Cleveland.
In 2010.
The first one, yeah.
They were putting him on the scoreboard. You know, now granted, he was on the court, so it was a little bit different.
Yeah.
Does Simmons come out pregame? Does he come out during the national anthem in the dark? You know, it's a whole sideshow for the first 10, 15 minutes. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this, where there's been focus on a guy who's going to be sitting, I assume, behind the bench for a game.
He also went on to add that this is a pretty big game for Kyrie as well.
This is a moment for Kyrie to strike a blow. The break between the Nets and James Harden was a large part due to the break between Kyrie and James Harden. So I'm not saying that it's necessarily mano a mano, but it is definitely a moment for Kyrie to send a message.
Now, Andrew, they're not tone deaf enough that they would give him any kind of video or anything, are they?
So Doc Rivers brought that up during the week.
Okay.
He said that he thinks Ben had some great moments, and because the question was asked to him, I couldn't tell if he was being sarcastic, if he was serious, because no, that could never happen. I'm telling you.
It would instigate things, I think.
Honestly, as somebody who grew up in Philadelphia, who's been rooting for those teams and part of the city's sports culture my whole life, this is the most hated I've ever seen a Philadelphia athlete.
That's crazy.
Listen,
to hear this from Andrew.
Who's a close second, Andrew?
I mean, I think if he'd gone to Philly, I think Drago.
You're right.
I mean, look, there are people older than me that might have different names on it, but for my generation, it's kind of T.O. has always been the one because the Eagles were so great with him, and then he blew it up. That team could have, who knows how great that offense could have been for years to come, and he wanted a new contract after 1 year, was a complete malcontent. They had to cut him. Carson Wentz has thrown his name into the ring with what happened with the way he left, but this, I don't think any of those are close
to this. This is a big deal. And Michael, listen, I don't want to be one to program yes.
You've never been that way.
But I think it would be an excellent move. Peter, see if you agree, that this Hot Stove show goes right to the Net postgame.
Oh, you mean for 4 hours?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Don't program yes.
That's
on TV.
You mean you want Michael to work for the next 3 hours after?
I'm just saying, he's talking about free agency, Bacchanal, all these open spots for the Yankees.
It's a great point by Don. Show us something, Michael.
All I know is if this was a 98.7 vehicle, you'd be staying on until the postgame.
Now, real quick, before we wrap ENN, Andrew just mentioned the end of Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. And as
sure.
You know, he is now the quarterback for my Washington Commanders.
That's our understanding.
By the way, the owners have ratified the new CBA. According to Jeff Passan, baseball is officially back.
That's right. Let the party begin.
Unanimous 30-0 vote.
You know what? Shirt's coming off. I'm just taking my shirt off right now.
Oh,
it's time.
Yeah.
I'm ready to get nude. Shirt off, pants down. So, first of all, stories are coming out of Indy now about just how unpopular Carson Wentz was in Indianapolis, which is a scary – honestly, for me, guys, much more than my concerns about him on the football field, it's the locker room stuff that worries me. But here's Dan Orlovsky on ESPN earlier saying the Commanders could win the NFC East with Wentz.
This is a team that was 6-6 last year. 6-6 with five games to go. They went 1-4 in those final five games, and they were all against the NFC East. I believe that if the Washington Commanders, with Terry McLaurin, who's Carson Wentz has never had a receiver like that, if they get 27-7 interceptions out of Carson Wentz and maybe a little bit better, yeah, then they're going to have the opportunity to win their division. They'll be right there with the Dallas Cowboys, because we don't know what the make of that football team is going to be until free agency gets over. So I still think Carson Wentz can play good football in the league, and going to add. We need to see it at a consistent basis.
Shirt off, pants down.
Now, Don, you know that Flip is a big fan of yours, right?
Yes, and like I said, he reached out. Not a text,
money.
He called me when I was in the hospital.
Offered you money.
Yes.
I'm just told that after what you said, if baseball is blowing up, like signings are coming fast and furious, it is possible that we will stay on as long as we have.
See that's a good.
See that's because he knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
that's
an executive.
Who the hell are you?
Not some hack who's texting you that he heard something that never happened on the radio.
God.
This is an actual executive.
How do you know that it wasn't Flip that was texting me?
Because I know. Because you said the guy's name and I just don't remember it.
I didn't say
his
name.
Yes, he did.
You did. You said his name. You don't remember that either? Oh, no. You're really struggling, Michael. That'll do it for ENN on this Thursday evening. It's brought to you by Hennessy. Thank you. Enjoy a delicious Hennessy NBA cocktail while watching the game. Try the Playmaker or maybe the Triple-Double, all made with Hennessy VS. Go to Hennessy.com for drink recipes. Oh. Hennessy, spirit of the NBA, always enjoy response.
Also, there's something that's being bantied about, Michael, baseball-wise. I don't think I'm happy with.
All right. I don't know if it's the same thing that we're seeing, but it is a seismic change, okay? We will talk about that when we get back. We have the big fella a little bit later on as well. And then the Hot Stove Show on Yes at 7 o'clock with Curry and Marakovitz and Cohn and me and Loren. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for more right here on Yes at 98.7 ESPN.
I'm up before the cows.
And then I eat them.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. The ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.